Let's come to the Word of God here this afternoon. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to read from verse number 1. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, if you're trying to find it. And we're in chapter 11, please. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, here this afternoon. And we're reading from verse number 1. Believed Solomon to be the writer, and Solomon said, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." We could look at those verses like what we're trying to do here in the drive-in church, where we're casting our bread and we're looking for the Lord to bless. And verse 2 would tell us to keep casting and cast it wide and tell men and women and young people about their need of a Savior. Verse 3 says, "If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." Now, I know I'm taking this out of context, but Solomon says where the tree falls, that's where it lies. Men and women and young people who die without Christ. If you die without Christ, that's the end. That's how you'll finish. When the tree falls, that's where it lies. If that's how you fall, if that's how you finish, then sadly it will be a lost eternity. And then here's the verse we really want to concentrate on this afternoon, verse number 4. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap." Let me read that again. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." And we look to the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired words to our hearts this afternoon. I'm sure most farmers know that when it comes to harvest time, indeed timing is so important. It's so important to sow the crops at the right time. It's so important to harvest the crops at the right time. And we read in these few verses this afternoon about a man, and he seems to observe the wind and he seems to look at the clouds, and he really does nothing. Here's a man who's waiting for the perfect moment to sow the crops and for the perfect moment to reap the crops. You know, that's how it is in life. The football manager will wait for the right moment to make the substitution. In business, in the economic world, the businessman or whoever will look for the right time to invest and increase and perhaps grow his business. Even when it comes to politics, often political parties will wait for the right moment, particularly government, to basically let us know about bad news. Sometimes there's a bad news day and other bad news will be sent out and really it'll be ignored. And that's really how government works. They just look for the right time. When it comes to the matter of salvation, maybe we've got someone here this afternoon and you're just waiting for the perfect moment. You're waiting for that perfect time. You've set out an agenda, and when all these boxes can get ticked, then you intend to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Let me read the verse again. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." The difficulty is that perfect moment never comes. You know how it is when it comes to farming. I used to remember a farmer up where I came from, and it always seemed to be that the hay lay in the field, and the hay was ready for baling, and he never shaped it doing anything until the rain started to come. And many times his hay was just washed into the river and it was lost. He seemed to always be waiting for the perfect time, the right time, but that time never came. I wonder spiritually, I wonder even, have we a backslider here this afternoon? Someone who once was going well with the Lord and for some reason you got away from the Lord, and this afternoon you're not what you used to be, and you're not singing the Lord's praises, you're not reading the word, you're not praying, you're not even fellowshipping with the people of God, and you're just waiting for the right time. That right time that you have set, when you will decide that you will come back to the Lord. Here's what the Lord said in Jeremiah. Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Now is the time. Now is the time for you to get right with God, backslider. Maybe even as a believer. Maybe a Christian here and you're waiting for the right time to serve the Lord. Do you remember what Joshua said? Choose you this day whom you will serve. The Lord Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And maybe you're waiting for the perfect time that you'll do more for the Lord. And the Lord is saying to you this afternoon, now is the time. Now is the time to you for you to get involved in the things of God and get involved in the work of the Lord. But of course, when it comes to the matter of salvation, perhaps there's someone here this afternoon and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You know, just in the week that has passed, on the 12th of October this year, it marked 35 years from I was saved. I was saved on the 12th of October, 1986, 35 years ago. I remember up to that moment, I remember for years, I said, Lord, if you do this, then I'll get saved. Lord, if this happens, then I'll get saved. Nothing seemed to be right. I had set out an agenda. I wanted to be in a relationship. I wanted to have a job. I wanted everything in my life to be perfect. And then at that time, then I would get saved. But of course, the perfect time never comes. And of course, there was a verse of scripture that challenged my heart. I've often shared it with you. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There was the danger that I would wait for that perfect time, that I would wait and wait and wait and be late, too late, and miss out on God's salvation and be lost in hell for all eternity. I wonder, are you like that this afternoon? I wonder, are you just waiting for everything to fall into place? Maybe you're waiting for that deathbed repentance. Maybe you think you're going to be like the dying thief. Just when he was ready to draw his last breath, as we preached on last week, almost lost, almost saved. A man who was almost lost, he just got in by the skin of his teeth. But you know, there were two thieves. There was one who made it and one who didn't. Do you know which one you're going to be like on that deathbed scene? Do you know if you'll still have your memory, still have your mind, still be able to make that conscious decision for Christ on that deathbed? Of course you don't. I don't know either. That's why the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me break this text of scripture down very simply for you this afternoon and for my benefit as well. Of course, in this text we see deliberation. Here's a man, and it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Of course, the man who keeps looking at the wind and looking at the clouds, well, he'll never do anything. And maybe that describes you this afternoon. You've been waiting for years. You've been following things. You've been looking for everything to fall into place. And just like this farmer, you're deliberating, but you're doing nothing. I want to invite you to observe and to regard, as this verse says. The Lord Jesus said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm happy for you to observe and to deliberate. I tell you what I want you to observe this afternoon. I'll tell you what I want you to regard. I want you to observe the scriptures first of all. Now I want you to take a moment to think about the Word of God. You see, in the book of Genesis, back in chapter 3, verse 6, we read about Adam and Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Here is Adam and Eve, and they're falling into sin. And they become sinners in the sight of a holy God. Here's how Paul describes it in Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Here's where you are this afternoon. This is what I want you to regard. This is what I want you to observe. The Word of God, and this book tells me that you and I were born in sin. We're sinners. Here's what this book says. I want you to observe the scripture. Revelation 21 verse 27, speaking about heaven. And there shall in no wise enter into it heaven anything that defileth. Not one sin will get into heaven. And so I want you to observe. I want you to regard the Word of God. I want you to realize this afternoon, perhaps as you've never realized before, that you are a guilty sinner in the sight of a holy God. That's what I realized in October 1986. And I want you to realize it here in October 2021 that you're a sinner in the sight of a holy God. You know what happens when we observe the Scripture sometimes? James says, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. This is a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. Here's a man, he looks in the mirror, he sees that things are not right. Rather than fix his face in the morning, I don't know, maybe he hadn't shaved, maybe he had missed a bit, but there was something wasn't right. He looks, he sees it's not right, but he just ignores it. That's what some people do with the Scriptures. They look into the Word of God, they see that they're sinners, and that's where they leave it. So I'm inviting you to observe the Scriptures. I'm inviting you to regard the Scriptures. I invite you to do that now. And you will come to the conclusion that Paul came to, that we all come to, that we're under sin. And we need forgiveness of sin if we're ever going to be in heaven. You see, I want you to observe the Scriptures. I want you to observe the Savior. Just take a few moments by faith. Just in your mind's eye, I want you to have a little look at Christ. I want you to see him being reproached by the scribes and elders. I want you to see him being despised by the people, laughed at by the crowd, railed on by the thieves. He was mocked by the thieves, falsely accused by the priests, derided by the rulers, questioned by the Sadducees. I want you to see him being hunted and hounded by Satan, being hated by the world, being betrayed by Judas, being played with by Pilate, being mocked by Herod. I want you to see him being crucified on that center cross when he bore our sin on his own body on the tree. I want you to see everything that Christ came through. I want you to see the agony. I want you to see the shame. I want you to hear the cries from the very mouth of the Savior. I want you to see the crowd around him baying for his blood, saying, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. I want you to see all that Christ had to go through. And I want you to observe it. I want you to regard it. And I want you to realize the reason he went through that was because he loved you. Because he wants to be your Savior. You see, you've got a sin problem. And Christ dealt with that sin problem on the cross. And you can't go to anyone else or anywhere else. You cannot do anything else. You cannot pay anything. You have to come to Christ if you want that sin problem to be dealt with. I invite you to observe the Scripture this afternoon. I invite you to observe the Savior. I invite you to observe the splendor of heaven. This afternoon, the Lord Jesus said in Luke and John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. My, what a mansion glory must be. What a place when you read the very street is paved with gold. You know, men have died for gold, lied for gold, stolen for gold. See, in heaven, we'll just walk over it. Such are the riches and splendors of heaven, that gold really has no value there. My, what a place it's going to be. You know, we can't even tell you what it's going to be like, because eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The best that we can do is go through the Word of God and see the bits that the Lord has revealed to us. Paul described it as a place of paradise. Paul said to be with Christ is far, far better. Remember, he was caught up into heaven. He got a glimpse of heaven. And whatever he saw, he said this, that heaven is far, far better than anything you can imagine. Oh, if I could ask you to think about glory, think about heaven. I was at a funeral on Friday, and to see a daughter with the tears running down her cheeks, saying goodbye to her old, aged mother. And how many funerals have we had to stand at? How many wakes, how many heartbroken families have we seen? Oh, don't we long for a better place? No more crying, no more sorrow, no more death. No more suffering, no more pain. No more chemotherapy. No more radiography. No more treatments whatsoever. No more intrusive examinations. A place where we will be eternally well. And we will know that perfect health with perfect bodies and a perfect world with a perfect Savior. Do you not long for heaven? Would you not love to be there? I want you to observe the Scriptures. I want you to observe the Savior. I want you to observe the splendor of heaven. But you know, maybe that still doesn't do it for you. Could I say this, and I say it reverently, and I say it graciously. If I only could let you observe the suffering of a soul in hell. You know, as a family, I know some of the wider family. And this week, that dear lady up in a little town called Nacloughram. And I don't know the circumstances. I'm only telling you what's in the public domain. But she was trapped in the boot of a burning car. She was alive when she went into that boot, I'm told. She suffered 95% burns of her body. How awful, how horrible. What a cruel, awful, painful death it must have been for that poor wee woman. But you know, death was an end to that suffering for her. But if I could pull back the curtains of hell, and just even like William Booth said all those years ago, if he could just roll back the curtains of hell and let the new recruits see a soul in hell, it would make men and women of God of them. And if you could see the eternal flames and eternal damnation that will never, ever, ever end, if you could only see it. I invite you to observe it this afternoon. Oh, look into the Scriptures. You're a sinner. Oh, look at the Savior. He died to save you. Oh, look at the splendor of heaven. That can be your home. Oh, but look at the suffering of a soul in hell. What an awful, awful place it must be. I could invite you to observe the support and the succor that we get from the Savior day by day. You know, we can lean in those everlasting arms. We have one who will never leave us nor forsake us. We have one who said, "My grace, no matter what the issue, my grace is this very moment sufficient for you." Listen, I could tell you all about how good the Lord is to me, and I would love you to observe that, but listen, can you see it yourself this afternoon? I'm asking you to do what this farmer. He's out observing the clouds. He's out looking at the wind, and he's going to do nothing. I want you to look at these things, but I don't want you to do nothing. I want you to do something about it. I want you to do what I did all those years ago. Fall at the feet of Jesus as a sinner. Just come the way you are by faith and repent of your sin, and Christ will save you. You see the deliberation. And then you see the difficulties in this text. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that observeth the clouds shall not reap. All this man could see was a reason to do nothing. That's all he could see. All he could see was the wind and the clouds, and he reckoned, it's too risky. I'll just sit in my hands. I'll wait for the perfect moment. I wonder, is that true of you this afternoon? All you can see are reasons to do nothing. I don't know what you're waiting for. This man was waiting for the perfect weather. Maybe you're waiting for riches. You know, the rich fool we read of in Luke 12. He had more money than he could ever spend. And the Lord says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He got all the money he could ever want and he still was lost. What are you waiting on? Maybe you're waiting until you reach a level in society. There was a man called Felix who was procurator of Judea. He had reached the top. You know, when he heard the gospel, he trembled. But this is what he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He reached the top and still didn't come to Christ. What are you waiting on? Do you want to live riotlessly like the prodigal son? You know, I want to have a good time. I want to go and enjoy myself. And then, when my life is nearly spent, then I'll come to Christ. But of course, you don't know what a day may bring forward. You don't know what the future holds. You know, in Ezekiel's day, when they were warned of judgment, this is what they said in Ezekiel 12, verse 27. He prophesied of times that are afar off. Oh yes, he's talking about death. He's talking about hell. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. Yeah, I believe all these things. And I intend to get saved. But listen, for me, they're far away. Far away. There's a family in the village I grew up in. And this weekend, they're preparing to bury their 18-year-old son who died in an accident. How many years do you think you have? How many more meetings? How many more opportunities? Yes, Lord, I'll do it someday, but it's far off, it's far away. It's in my to-do list sometime in the future. Have you found reasons to do nothing? You know what God said in Ezekiel's day? Watch that which I have spoken shall be done. Then he said this, none of my words shall be prolonged anymore. God said, I have warned you of judgment and have warned you so much you think it's far away and now you're doing nothing about it. He says, I'm going to step in and I'm going to move and judgment's going to come and it's going to come now. What if judgment was to fall on you now? What is it that's holding you back? Are you trying to clean up your life? Make yourself perhaps more religious, more righteous in your own eyes? What is it? What is it that means you're doing nothing about your soul? You're just like this farmer. He's looking at the clouds. He's looking at the wind. He thinks rain's going to come. And so he decides he's going to do nothing. Have you a dozen reasons for doing nothing? And you know, the devil will keep telling you, there's no hurry, there's no panic, you have plenty of time. Don't waste your life trusting God. You know, and many times we say to people, when one door closes, another door opens. And sometimes that's true in life. And often we'll say to people when they miss the job they're going for, don't worry about it. Or a relationship doesn't work out, we'll say, don't worry about it. If one door closes, another door might open. But you see, in the matter of salvation, in the days of Noah, a door closed. And there was never another door to open. In the matter of salvation, when the door closes, when God closes it, it'll never open for you again. Jesus said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And the Lord Jesus says, I'm the door, I'm wide open, I'm inviting you to come. When that door closes for you, it will never open again. Maybe the 17th of October 2021 is the day when that door will close for you. I hope it doesn't. And maybe God is speaking to you this afternoon. Are you like this farmer? Boy, you're just waiting for the perfect time to get right with God. And that perfect time will never come. And the Lord is speaking to you and saying, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I need to move on. I want to finish. You see the deliberation? He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You see the difficulties? All he could see was the wind and the clouds, and he decided to do nothing. You see the decision? He that observeth the wind shall not. He that regardeth the clouds shall not. This was his choice. He decided to do nothing about it. You know, not only was it a choice, but it came at a cost. He would have lost the crops. I don't know much about land, but I would think if the land isn't used, it becomes more difficult the following year. And more difficult the following year. You see, the longer you put this off, it's not going to get easier for you to get right with God. It's going to get more difficult. It's going to get more difficult for you. And God's speaking to you and God's warning you. And the danger is, like this farmer, you'll do nothing, and you'll lose another season, and the land would become barren, it would need more work, and it would become more difficult, there'd be more problems. And as you get older and older, it seems to become more and more difficult, and the devil will make sure it's more difficult. You see, this man's choice, you see the cost, and then you see the consequences. He lost all. If he had a crop in the field, he never harvested, he lost it. If he never planted the crop, well, the land lay barren and it was nothing. It was awful consequences. But we're not talking about a crop in the field. We're not talking about sowing seeds here this afternoon. We're talking about you and your soul. And I've already tried to say it, and I don't want to go over it again. And I don't want to hurt you. And I don't want to annoy you. But this is not talking about a crop in the field or a harvest that will be lost or a potential harvest that will be lost. And those things are not good. I appreciate that. We're talking about you losing your soul in hell for all eternity. I wonder what it's going to be this afternoon. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Are you looking for reasons to do nothing? I remember 16 years of age. I remember news coming through that, and I was reminded of this the other day with the untimely and cruel murder of Sir David Amos. I was reminded of the death of the Reverend Robert Bradford. Many people of an age here will remember it and remember it well. And I recall when it happened on that Saturday. I recall on the day of the funeral, schools were given the day off for the funeral. And I remember what happened and remember looking into his life a number of years later. He was murdered on the 19th of November 1981. Next month, that will be 40 years for me. It just seemed like yesterday, 40 years ago. But let me tell you about the Reverend Robert Bradford. You see, as a young boy, at 11 years of age, he was sitting in the Grosvenor Hall in Belfast. One of the greatest preachers, one of the greatest Methodist preachers, was a man called W.E. Sangster, and he preached the gospel. And that young boy at 11 years of age bowed the knee and cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Thank God he was saved. Thank God he was saved. And no bullet, while it could take his life, no bullet could touch his soul. And that was the most important day in that man's life. The day he trusted Christ as his Savior as a young boy. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you this afternoon. Maybe he's saying it's time that you would get saved. Who knows what a day may bring forth? Are you looking for excuses to do nothing? Are you going to wait, to wait, and to wait? And then be too late? Or will you come to Christ this afternoon and trust Him as your Savior? And no matter what happens, you can put your head in the pillow and you can say with the hymn writer, "It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." Let's close in a moment's prayer. Could I just say, while the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I have some little leaflets with me. If God has been speaking to you, if God has been challenging you, I'll give you a little leaflet. They're free of charge. They just simply explain the way of salvation. If you want to, maybe you've got saved. Maybe in recent weeks you've got saved. Do tell us. Do encourage us. We see people coming week by week and it thrills our hearts. If you have found Christ, do let us know. Do encourage us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you, Lord, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Lord, we pray that someone will see Christ this afternoon. Someone will get a glimpse of the Savior and what he has done for them. Lord, that they'll realize Christ died for their sins. And Christ died to be their Savior. And Lord, they'll bow the knee in repentance and take Christ home with them. Lord, we pray they'll have no more excuses for doing nothing. But today they'll do something. That they'll reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Lord, do save souls. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray.